Hello, and welcome back to the Double Take podcast with Jess and Jenny, where we give our takes on all things TV. Today, we will be doing a weekly watch list slash check-in episode where we catch up on what we've been watching, some new things that have come out, our thoughts on the latest and returning shows. But before we do that, what's going on with you, Jenny? Do you have any plans for the weekend?
Yes. Oh, yes. Carter's birthday is next week. So we're doing like a family birthday thing over the weekend, which should be nice.
Oh, fun. Happy pre-birthday, Carter.
I'll let him know you said so. How about you? What are your plans?
I think maybe going out to Long Island tomorrow. My friend is moving to Texas. Cry face. Sad face.
I thought you were going to say to Long Island. And I was like, no. That's not that far.
No, so I'm going to go see her before she moves to Austin, Texas. Yeah, that's it. And I've got a few movies lined up. One today, one Sunday, one... Well, I just keep my AMC A-list booked. I'm booked and busy. I love going to the movies. It's my favorite.
I haven't been to the movies in a long time. I think just because the closest movie theater to me – and I should just expand my movie theater reach. But the closest movie theater to me does not have that many options. And it has like the hits. Like I'm sure Dune 2 is there right now. But I have to make it more of a priority if I want to go and see things that are a little further away. But I want to see Dune 2. I think it's all booked this weekend anyway. So maybe I'll try like in the middle of next week.
Yeah, I went on Monday night and it was actually still pretty packed.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's getting a lot of good reviews and people who maybe were going to wait to check it out are like, actually, maybe let me scoot my way in there.
I really liked it. Definitely more than the first one.
I have not heard anyone that says the opposite. Like, I feel like that is the take that I've heard most often, that they liked it and they liked it better than the first.
Yeah. So. Well, the first one is so much setup and I didn't have any prior knowledge of Dune. So I was like kind of struggling to get into the first one. And then I watched it like a couple times or whatever. And by the end, I was like, okay, I'm excited for the second one. I want to get into the meat of this story. And then the meat of the story was crazy. Like, I feel like I need to watch it five more times to even digest.
You said you watched the first one a couple times to get ready for the second one?
No, just like over the lifespan of the movie being out. Okay. I watched it again right before I watched the second one and I'd already seen it before.
Okay.
The second one has
long.
It's very long. The second one is also very long. The second one has so much going on that the first, like seeing it for the first time was like an experience, and I was like, that was so good. I feel like I need to watch it many more times to fully grasp everything that was going on. And I think that that's a good thing. I think we so rarely get movies like that, that have actual depth and like it didn't feel rushed. Well, it was 2 hours and 45 minutes long, so it shouldn't feel rushed, but it did feel like there was a lot to unpack. And I don't fully understand everything I saw. Like, I know that the lore and this world and the just story of Dune and everything within is quite dense. And so to put it into a movie format, some of it has to sort of be like pared down. And so now I want to read the books.
Book,
but there are two, I believe. But like the main book was split into these two movies. I want to at least read that. But it's so long and I don't really read like hard copy books, but I also can't get it from the library on my Kindle. I guess I could buy the ebook. I only do library books on my Kindle, but I could buy the ebook.
Yeah, I feel such an aversion. And every once in a while, there's a book that's new or that like is impossible to get and you're 1,000th in line for 3 copies.
I have like not ever. I don't think I've ever bought an ebook.
I definitely have. Oh, you know what I did? I bought Tess. Tress.
Oh,
the Tress of the Emerald Sea. Because he doesn't, you can't download it via Kindle from your library for something. He has some sort of agreement with, he like doesn't want his books to be Kindle books.
At the library? That's so rude.
They're EPUBs instead. So you could read it on your like phone or your tablet or something, but I didn't like that.
Oh, is he like anti-Amazon?
I think so, which like rightfully so. Sorry, yeah, Amazon. Fair. Although like Prime Video, you're doing well, but like, okay.
I guess we can talk about TV shows if your laugh was the fact that we were rambling about other things.
It was, but it was also because I wanted to ramble longer about the huge book that I just read, and it was so cumbersome. It was, I don't know,
Priory of the Orange Tree.
Yeah,
Priory. I follow you on Goodreads.
No, I had asked. It was on my Goodreads to read list, and my cousin had me for like a Christmas Pollyanna. He had to give me a gift. He was forced to give me a gift because of our family rules of Christmas. And he saw it on my he saw it on my Goodreads and bought it for me. And I had only ever seen people read it on Kindle. So I had no concept of how thick this book was. And it was 800 some pages long. And I holding it, like I'm putting my hands out. I know you cannot see this in the podcast, but for Jess, like holding it in bed, I was constantly afraid of it just like falling on my face. I couldn't figure out how to hold it so that the pages were splayed properly.
Oh, you need one of those things. You like stick on your finger and it like holds the book open.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, you could. Oh, I'll send it to you. You could also like make one. It's like just a piece of like plastic or wood or whatever that like holds the book open.
Wait, while you're in bed or like on a desk?
No, while you're sitting.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, when so you read in bed, do you hold the book over your face? It's a lot of arm strength. Like, are you laying in bed and holding
like
the book
like on the side? Yeah. What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't read real books anymore. But when I used to read real books, I would sit in bed.
Oh, that, no way am I 90 degrees. In bed? No. If I'm going to be 90 degrees, I'm going to be like in a chair.
Yeah, I used to sit in bed if I had to read, but now that I have a Kindle, I don't have to do that. It's a lovely little device.
Lala, lovely. Okay, now I feel like I've taken us too far.
Wait, you did, but I let you, so we're both to blame. Shall we start with Shogun or The Gentleman? Are those our two? I feel like Ooh. Those are – did you watch The Gentleman?
Those are our two. Yeah, I've only seen two episodes of The Gentleman. Which okay, I feel like yay. Is fair. They're like 2 hours long. I mean, sorry, an hour long. But it's like 2 hours of watching.
Well, it's enough to just talk. Yeah, we can discuss the show and our thoughts. And let's start with Shogun, maybe?
Sure.
We've both seen three episodes, right? The three that are out.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I will say of both of these shows, I guess I'm jumping the gun for Gentlemen, but I'm pleasantly surprised with both so far.
Oh, wow. I really didn't think you were going to like The Gentleman. Okay, we're not talking about that one right now,
yeah.
though.
We're starting with Shogun.
Okay, Shogun, I was anticipating – yeah, I guess I was anticipating a dud. I don't know why. I think we talked about it in the past. Like, I just get wary of these, like, big budget – when they're trying to tell me that something is prestige TV and, like, on a bigger scale than you've seen before, I'm like, okay, but – will it actually be good, or did you just throw a bunch of money at this thing?
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to make these sort of like sweeping epics with a bunch of like political stuff going on. I think it's hard to make those good. But yeah, I really like it. I wouldn't say I like love every bit of it so far, but I think it's good and I think it's just getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. There are definitely – like in the last episode, there are definitely parts that I was like, eh. I can go do something else, but there was enough in their most recent episode that I was excited by that I want to see the next episode. Like I want to know what happens to these people, and I really enjoyed the cute little scene of them diving at the end. It was a little weird, like a weird button, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I don't know what the vibe there was. It was supposed to be like getting along, but we were told like all episode basically like neither of them trust anyone, and so then this is sort of like their cautious alliance, but we know that like it could go wrong at any moment.
Yeah, but I think they're both just getting a breather, like they're having a little bit of fun, and even that fun, the guy who's named Blackthorn or whatever felt like just dove for way too many times sort of out of obligation of the dude. Like it wasn't an unfraught hang time. He was like being forced to dive a bunch of times. It wasn't just like a chill moment until it was. And then they raced each other. And that was cute. So yeah, I thought
it was so scary. I would not dive off a big ship like that. That's too high. That was the only thought in my brain. I was afraid. Those were the thoughts in my brain. I thought I took notes during this episode and I just looked at my notes and there's one note. There's a single note. But did we Have we talked about episodes 1 and 2? Like, have we talked about Shogun yet at all on this podcast? Or we just
we definitely have, but I think maybe we just did vibes. I don't know.
Okay, so we're not just talking about episode 3 necessarily.
Sure.
So to go back a little bit, I thought, like, I really, really liked episode 1, and I was like, wow, this is so much better than I thought. And then I thought episode 2 was kind of slow and very exposition heavy, and I got a little nervous. But then I thought episode 3, it's interesting that you said in episode 3, you were like, oh, I could do stuff. I could do other stuff. Like, I was locked into episode 3. I was like, I can't even answer a text message. I need to be so focused, and I'm so intrigued and like, want to see what happens next. So I feel like there are going to be like 6 episodes, which is so short, maybe 8, but I am very excited about the next few episodes. I feel like episode 3 was a big improvement over the second.
I think when I said I could go do other things, I'm mainly thinking about I don't do well with fight scenes. Like, sometimes I'll say there were 2 or 3 in the most recent episode. The first one is the one that I'm thinking of, the one where they're in the – or the set. I don't remember which one. Sorry. They're in the woods and getting ambushed. And that went on, like, slightly longer for me than I needed. And I know that for the pace of the show, it worked well. It wasn't like I thought, like, ah, they're doing this wrong. It's just not the thing that captures my interest so much. I did think, though, the second one where the husband goes off and, like, defends the rest of them, allows the boats to push off, like, that felt very gripping and integral to the plot. And I was definitely, like, sat watching that. But there were a few parts where I was just like, all right, yeah, they're fighting. I get that other people find this really interesting. It's not totally my jam. I think that's what I meant.
Okay, I'm going to say a thing, but before I do, I'll say I'm about to say a spoiler. I don't think we've actually said any spoilers yet, so I'm just going
to
put that.
I've been trying to keep it vague. Yeah.
I know. Well, it is. Yeah. I'm going to say
a spoiler. No, go for it. Yeah.
So do you think Buntaro is dead? Because they didn't actually show him die. That's the husband.
I do. I do think he's dead.
Really? I don't think he is. I feel like they put too much of him in. Like, we were starting to get hints of what the relationship was between or is between Bentaro and Lady – what is it?
Mariko, is it?
Mariko, yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. I felt like it was purposeful that we didn't see him die. That raised a little alarm in my head.
Whenever, like, you don't see anyone die, I feel like it is a little bit like, huh?
I'm always suspicious. Unless you show me the dead body, I'm like, ooh, that person's still alive. I don't really know what purpose that would serve, but maybe we'll find out later. Like, maybe he'll be – I don't know, because he was starting to be a sort of interesting character. And even the way that she talks about him to Blackthorn in episode 3, I thought was interesting. Also, Anna Sawai, very good at acting in this.
Oh, yeah.
Which is,
yes,
really redeeming her in my mind, because I thought in Monarch she was very one note, but I do believe her character was written that way in Monarch. Like, in Monarch she literally was just like a girl who yelled a lot. She was mad at the world and she let the world know it, and that was like the only tone got from her. Yes,
speaking of girls who yell a lot, the guy who plays John Blackthorne literally cannot stop yelling. That is almost his only character trait so far.
That's true. I wouldn't say he yells all the time, but he does have – when he started yelling in episode 3, I was like, oh, he's yelling. But he does have a sort of like gruffness to everything he says.
Yeah, yeah.
That was also my only note that I wrote down, was that when he started yelling to create the diversion, I was giggling, like literally out loud giggling. I loved that part. Yeah.
I like all the like sort of trickery. I like that it is Game of Thronesy in the – I guess it's not even Game of Thronesy in that way, but there have been some parallels of, yeah, these political people trying to trick each other. And I like that our main guy is sort of quicker on his feet. I'm saying main guy as in the Lord, not Blackthorn. And that he's got some tricks up his sleeve, and then like we see this loyalty behind him that I feel now loyalty to him and their journey in a way that I think was done really well without us really spending too much time with him alone. They've done a really good job at sort of creating his character already. But yeah, the Blackthorne screaming made me very uncomfy, actually.
Oh, really?
I was like, well, one, because up until this point, anyone who's ever been that loud or brash or whatever has immediately been killed.
Oh, I thought for sure it was about to be bad. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can make you uncomfortable from that sense. But I mean, it was clearly like comedic relief in some aspect, which at first I was like, ooh, tonally strange. But then I liked it. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I was giggling. Something you said just a moment ago made me think of another thought, and it's sort of unrelated. But I keep seeing people compare this to Game of Thrones, and then I keep seeing people sort of have like a backlash to it being compared to Game of Thrones, which I find so odd because it is clearly very easy to compare this to Game of Thrones on scale and like the politics involved and the battle for the throne. I mean, it's so easy to compare it to Game of Thrones. I'm wondering if people's reluctance to do so is because of how much everybody hated the end of Game of Thrones. I'm like, I've seen so many people be like, well, like, let's not compare it to Game of Thrones. Like, but why? It's very Game of Thrones.
I mean, part of comparing is also contrasting. I feel like, yes, I agree with you. There are so many parallels, and the like political intrigue is a huge part. The scale of the show is another huge part. But like, clearly it's not a fantasy, you know? There are a lot of differences as well. I feel like it's silly to say, let's not compare it to Game of Thrones.
Well, to be fair, most of the discourse on the internet is silly and a waste of time. The thing that is sort of making me sad about Shogun is that you said we can contrast it. So I will contrast it to Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones had 8 seasons. This is going to have just this miniseries. Like, it's a set story. It has the beginning and the end already. It's adapting a book. We know it's a miniseries. So to me, I feel like it'll never really reach Game of Thrones heights. I know a lot of people right now are watching it. I don't know the numbers. I'm sure Hulu didn't even release them. But obviously, this is a very popular show right now. And the fact that they're releasing it week by week means that it'll at least get some sort of longevity in terms of cultural awareness and hype. And yet, I don't think it'll even touch Game of Thrones. I think at the end of the year, like, if this is on a top 10 list, I'll still get people that are like, oh, what was that?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think Game of Thrones didn't really get the cultural phenomenon status that it did until midway through, if not much later.
Totally agree. Season 3 or 4. I remember the first season came out and I had read the book. So I was like, oh, wow, they did a TV show of this book. And like, no one knew what I was talking about. And none of the people were like big at that point.
And a lot of people were like, why is this on HBO? Like, there was just like a lot of questions about it. It was not regarded as this great TV show by a lot of people. They were like, I'm skeptical.
That's also the case just for so many. Sorry, just to finish that thought. So many shows, and that's what's such a bummer about. I mean, miniseries are miniseries. They always have been. But so not talking about Shogun, but that's what's such a bummer about the current like churn of TV shows where most shows don't get a follow-up. What were you going to say?
Agreed. I was just going to say I actually saw a headline about the viewership of, I think, the most recent episode of Shogun. And I don't remember the exact number, but it was like Hulu announces record-breaking something million viewers of the show so far or something. It could have been billions, way too many. It was definitely a million.
Definitely too many.
But they did. There was a headline that I saw. So we could probably get some of those numbers for next time.
If we had an assistant, this is when we could be like, hey, Piper, Charles, what's the numbers? Piper. 9 million for the premiere. I am the assistant. I did
the
search.
Thank you, Assistant Jess.
9 million's, yeah, so that's big.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's,
so
that's many,
I mean,
people.
I guess anecdotally, I felt like a lot of people were watching it. I felt like it was like, I don't know, on the scale of like when an HBO show is big. I think The Last of Us had more. Didn't that have like 12 million on the premiere? Yeah. It's hard to know those numbers off the top of my head. But yeah, but for a Hulu show,
this feels like a,
you know,
that
didn't have a lot of like previous hype. Like, I think I started seeing ads for it like a month ago. So certainly different from like a Last of Us situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got good word of mouth, I think, too.
They did have a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, well, that'll do it. That'll help at least.
All their eggs in that basket.
This is a set. Well, this could be a segue if we want to. Do we want to segue out of Shogun?
Sure. I think, I mean, I don't have too much more to say before we see more of the show. I think we're both enjoying it.
I would recommend it to people at this point. Someone just asked me if I think that they'd like it. And I think the thing is, like, it is a bit slow in parts, especially like episode 2, like I said, is very expository. But I think it's clear that it's going somewhere, and I think it's clear that it will be exciting. And there are moments in these first few episodes that are exciting. And I think that there's enough, like, there's setup in the first two episodes, but there's enough of a through line that, like, made me excited about it.
Yeah, totally.
What was my segue going to be?
I don't know. We lost it.
Yes. Okay, I've got it. So you said Super Bowl commercial, and I thought Tracker. Tracker got renewed.
Organic segue.
It was going to be a lot more organic. Tracker got renewed for a second season, to which I was like, but why? But then I looked up the viewership numbers for that, and that is getting like 12 million per episode. Tracker. Well, there's just – that. This is how I know I'm not in tune with the world.
Yeah, I mean, but so like – think about what it was, it like Young Sheldon, or like there are so many people that watch that show. I have not seen a single scene.
I don't think I know a single person that's seen that show.
But it's got huge viewership numbers. Like, you know, there are so many shows like that where we're like, how? But
right,
a lot of people like it.
There's been like 30 seasons of NCIS, and I don't know anyone besides like grandparents that watch that.
And my parents. Yeah.
Well, your parents are grandparents. Parents just
I don't have kids, just for the no listeners. Not
yeah,
my brother does.
So like I'm not wrong. You're but yeah wrong. That's what I imagine is happening with Tracker. It's just like, I don't know, people whose kids have moved out of the house that just want like comfort TV. It is comforting. I will give it that. Like, you turn it on and you know what's gonna happen. Like it's comforting, and the setup is not, there's nothing that's gonna surprise you, nothing's gonna make you sad. You trust that, like, if there's a little sad moment, it's not dark and depressing.
It's the Gilmore Girls of Justin Hartley action shows.
What a weird way to say that. I did not know where that was going. Yes, but it's not comforting in the like, oh, it's cozy. It's comforting in the like, procedurals are comforting because you know the story beats, you know when they're going to happen, you know exactly what the structure is before the episode even starts. And that is nice. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, I don't like this, but I don't judge people who do, I guess. I kind of do, just because really Justin Hartley sounds like he's reading a phone book. I don't get it. But people really like him, and people like the way he looks, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And the brother's son got canceled. Did you see that?
I saw that. Yeah, I responded with sad face cries. That's a real bummer, and it doesn't really make sense. I feel like anyone that I – talked to about it really liked it and was like, wow, this is such a surprising win, where it wasn't necessarily foreseen to be such a win. So I'm sad, and I wonder why it doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is like, maybe it was like, maybe the cast was unavailable and the budget, like I feel maybe. Like it couldn't have been that people weren't watching it, although Netflix really isn't forthcoming with their viewership. It was in the top 10, and we've seen that doesn't really matter. They cancel shows all the time that have been in the top 10 for like weeks, but it at least it had that going for it. Like, it had that, it had word of mouth, and like you said, everybody I know who actually watched it, I don't think anyone was like, I can't believe how amazing that was. It wasn't like beef word of mouth, but
it was so fun,
solidly entertaining. It was better than Fool Me Once, which I think did get like a lot bigger viewership. But Michelle Yeoh was so good. The only thing I can think is like, yeah, what if it's that? What if like Michelle Yeoh was like, I don't want to do a season 2, or is unavailable? And so they were
you don't think
the show is nothing without her?
Hmm.
Which I don't really agree with. I think there was enough else in the show, but she's clearly like the selling point. And also she is really, really amazing in it.
Maybe here's hoping someone else picks it up and they get to do a second season somewhere else.
I feel like have we seen that happen with Netflix shows? I feel like I've only seen it in the reverse, where Netflix picks up a show that got booted. I don't know that I've ever seen it where a Netflix show got canceled and somebody else pulled it.
Nothing is coming to the tip of my tongue, but I want to say yes.
I don't know. But I'd be surprised.
I'll look it up for next time. She says, not intending to remember to say about anything about it next time.
That's all right. And then my last bit of cancellation renewal news, since we're on that subject now, is Avatar got renewed for another 2 seasons.
Yes, indeed.
Which they said will be like the whole arc.
Exactly. Yeah, the original cartoon animation is 3 books, quote unquote, 3 seasons, where Aang learns to, like, the first book / season is supposed to be him learning how to waterbend. Didn't happen in this one. Each book, quote unquote, is like where he masters one of the elements. And so I don't know if they're doing that. Yeah, but he's already an airbender. He's a master airbender. That's why the little arrows on his head.
Oh, I knew that.
But yeah, so I think I said this to you that the first.
I'm sorry. My brain was slow to process that. When is. There's no waterbending that happens of him in the episodes I saw in the live action.
That was definitely why I was confused.
The live action, he doesn't even. Weird.
Yeah. Yep. So they're doing something different. Maybe waterbending will be combined with something else in the next season. They're not doing it exactly in the same way, which we already knew. Most of the changes I don't like. Some of the changes, whatever, they'll do what they're doing. I didn't like the first season of the animation as much as I liked the series as a whole. And also it was the weakest season in my opinion. And this already, I did not love the live action version. And so my hope is that the trajectory of the live action series will be the same. And we'll just forget the sort of badness of the first season, in my opinion, and maybe get like really 2 good live action seasons.
It might be
coming. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
I'm happy that it's getting the chance because, like I just was talking about, like too many shows just get canceled right away. And I think a lot of shows are not in tip top form in their first season, and that's okay. We just used to be a lot more like, well,
forgiving.
We networks used to be a lot more forgiving of it, but. I didn't know that you felt that way about the animated show. So that is interesting. Yeah. I also think a lot of people maybe don't know that about the like 3 seasons thing. Cause I saw some people be like, well, wait, why are they ending it after 3? But the way you explained it makes sense if there were only 3 like stories to tell. You know, it would be fun if we got like an Eye of the Tiger montage of Aang learning waterbending and that was it. They just like shove that in there. 2 minutes.
Just by the way, what you missed in the first, between the first and the second season.
Guys, we forgot to do this, so let's just shove it in there. He learned how to waterbend.
He's a master now.
Now I'm bopping to Eye of the Tiger in my brain.
Yes, that is interesting renewal news, although not – I think that was pretty expected, at least in my mind.
Maybe.
Even though I didn't like it, I feel like it still has just the viewership and they've got the kids. You know, they're just going to keep going.
It probably is the biggest Netflix show this year so far already, I would guess.
Until Bridgerton season 3 comes out, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I meant like new show. Yeah, I'm sure Bridgerton's season will do big numbers. And then Squid Game 2 also likely to do big numbers. I made a video earlier this week that was like predicting what will be Netflix's, like every year they have a show that everybody watches. To which most people's comments were just about how they haven't seen the shows that I listed, as if that gets them like a trophy. Like, well, I've never seen any of the shows on this list. I'm like, you want to boast that you've never seen Stranger Things? Like, why? And that's what like everyone was commenting. I was like, what a weird flex. But you know, people.
They're just built different.
But I do think this year it could be Avatar, but it is weird to me that it's sort of already – like I'm not hearing people really talk about it already.
The demographic that it's trying to target is strange.
Like you think it's like younger people are going to be talking about it and I don't know enough younger people.
I think so. And then the older people that are talking about it don't have the most favorable opinion of it.
I see.
Bridgerton has been so long coming and they've been teasing so many things that I do think it's going to have – huge numbers.
Bridgerton?
The newest season.
Do I have to catch up? Do I have to watch that?
No, I think they're, I mean.
No, just in general, like, do you think I should? I've just been, it's really just.
I don't think you would like it.
Okay. That was my fear. Damn, I just feel really out of the zeitgeist.
Like romance stories, though. Like, maybe you like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I'll let you know.
Is that a date?
Yeah, we can. Yes. Ooh, sometime. So way far away. Like maybe May. Oh, okay. I should know this.
It's not that far away. We're in March.
I know. It's not that far away now, but when January rolled around and then February rolled around and they were like, are they going to release it in like February 14th? And then they just released like a few sneak
February
14th.
Scenes or something. That would be cute. Yeah, I figured it out. I put it together.
I have other things I want to talk about, but we should move to Gentlemen. Because I feel like that's the bulk. Yeah.
Okay. So I watched the first episode and like everything except 10 minutes of the second. So don't spoil the last 10 minutes of the second episode for me.
I won't.
I guess we should say, well, let's do a non-spoiler like recap, quick review, sort of like how we're liking it for people who are curious. And then we can move into specifics if we'd like.
Okay.
I will start since I'm already speaking. I watched the 2019 movie. I know you didn't. And this is not a remake. It's also Guy Ritchie, but it's not a remake. It is a – I've seen some people call it a spinoff. To me, it's really just like another version of the same story with different characters and a slightly different setup. Like it's just – it's gangsters in England. There's nobility involved. There's like a weed industry involved. And like that's sort of where the similarities end. So it feels like he just was like, I want to tell another The Gentleman. Different cast, different characters. I liked I didn't really like the movie that much. It was very Guy Ritchie. There were parts of it that were like, fine. I don't always like his stuff. I don't like his style all the time. I thought the movie was really rushed, which was interesting. He had said he wanted it originally to be a TV show. Felt like there were a lot of characters. Some of them had like really no point other than like showing up and like killing someone or being killed. Matthew McConaughey was like weirdly like dull in it. Jeremy Strong is in it too. Actually, if you haven't looked up the cast of this movie, it's pretty funny. It's Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant's amazing in it, actually.
I did know that he was in it and I was a little like, huh? But yeah, cool. Good for him.
He's actually the only good part. But anyway, it's a like decent but not quite for me movie. And so I was kind of excited about this show because of Theo James. And I thought, well, okay, maybe a TV show will sort of correct some of the things I didn't love about the movie and the pace of the movie. And I am enjoying it, the show. However, it is still a little too Guy Ritchie for me. Like the little stylistic stuff he does. I'm like, this is too cutesy and it's not doing anything for me.
Huh. Yeah, that doesn't bother me, the like cutesy Guy Ritchie things that you're talking about. I don't watch too many things like this. Like I haven't seen that many Guy Ritchie projects, to be honest, but I like when something is like very specific and I can tell like, oh, this is a choice made by this person. And so like I'm enjoying those things, I think, more than I ordinarily would, just as sort of like I can see this person's signature on this. I have been struggling to figure out, to pinpoint exactly what this show reminds me of. And that's what, when we first signed on, this was before we started recording and I had this like look on my face. I was trying really hard to figure out, I was Googling a lot of things and like trying to figure out what to say that this reminded me of. And I still haven't figured it out. It's like a little bit, it's like if Fargo and like Lovesick, which is, I'm only saying that because what's his face, Daniel Ings, the older brother in this, is also in Lovesick and has been in a lot of like goofier comedies, British comedies.
Oh, he's good in it. He's probably my favorite in it, actually.
He's really good. He's also in I Hate Susie and Sex Ed. He's been in a lot of things that I really enjoy. But yeah, anyway, it's the tone of it I am really enjoying and I can't pinpoint. And I guess maybe it's just Guy Ritchie. But I felt like I should be able to give like two or three TV shows, movies, and like glom them together. And I just haven't found the perfect combination yet. And maybe I just need to watch more episodes before I can fully give that. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Did you see Saltburn?
No.
Oh, I was going to say maybe like the setting is reminding you of Saltburn.
The setting is like a little glass oniony in the like just wealthy house.
And yeah. Like someone dies. Yeah. And if you saw Saltburn, it's like the same sort of like English manner.
Mm.
But yeah. I think it's just kind of familiar. It's not exactly doing anything too different. Also, if you've seen, which you haven't, the movie, then yeah, it's very similar.
Yes.
But it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't feel like he's doing a like a bad imitation of it. Like it does feel like he, I don't know, brought something new. I'll say, even though this won't really make sense to you, I thought it was kind of an interesting way that the two are connected. So in the movie, there is still this like big cannabis empire drug, mm-hmm. like drug lords situation, gangsters, whatever. The business is using these manor houses, these houses of nobility, their land, whatever, to farm the marijuana. Are we going to get like kicked off Spotify for saying?
I don't think so.
In the movie, they're using these land. They have these deals with the nobility, which we see like Kaya is the representative. She has the deal with the nobility. In the movie, we see it from the entire thing is from the standpoint of like the Kaya Scodelario character and her peers, whereas this is like set at one of those houses that they're like using in the movie, but we don't really see what's going on with the nobility at all in the movie. So I kind of like that in that way, like it is a spinoff. It's like, okay, well, what if we went to one of the manor houses and saw what was going on there? Although it does feel like they're very quickly embroiling themselves into the criminal empire themselves, the Theo James and the family.
But giving like a fish out of water point of view or like point of reference of these two brothers getting engaged in all of these, you know, British thugs and the underworld is a super interesting viewpoint. Like I like having that, those eyes and like being our tether to this story, not having seen the original Gentleman. But yeah, I think that's a very interesting.
Yeah. I think it adds to it in a way that's important. I think in the movie, it's like a little too
more removed,
one note. I don't know. Mm. But I'm also not that into like the lives of gangsters. So the movie is very like, here's all these people that are in the criminal world. And like you said, the show is a little bit more like, let's show both sides and how they're weaving together because of the inciting incident. So shall we do spoilers now?
Let's do spoilers.
Okay. Spoiler warning for the Gentleman's first two episodes, just to make it official. I do wish Kaya Scodelario's character, what the heck is her name?
I don't know.
I don't hear character names. I swear they go in one ear, out the other.
I just kept calling her Eyeliner Lady because boy, does she get to wear eyeliner
in a lot of
shows that she's in.
I love her so much. She's my crush.
she's
but
very
she's
beautiful.
Given nothing to do. I love her. And all she does is like stand around and look pretty and like make the men speak to each other. Here, one man, meet the other man. Like, please give her something else to do.
I think – I'm hoping they will. Right now, she seems like kind of like an aloof puppeteer, which I'm okay with as long as it's not that the entire time. Like, I have hope that they will give her more.
I don't. If you saw the movie and you don't know Guy Ritchie that well and you didn't see the movie, but I have very little hope that any of the women characters – and there's really just Kaya – that she will be interesting at all. There was one woman in the movie – it was Michelle Dockery, and she crushed it. She had very, very little to do and very few lines, and Michelle Dockery was still the highlight of the movie for me. She had like literally nothing to do. She was just a pawn in the men's games, and it was. I mean, it's giving misogyny if we're being blunt about it.
I believe that about the movie. I do feel like Kaya does not feel like a pawn currently.
Yeah, that's true. She's at least in a position of power, not just like the wife of the man in power like in the movie. But like the way she's been written so far, I'm like, yeah, you can put her in the position of power, but I don't know. If she's given nothing else to do, it feels like somebody told him like, hey, you gotta not do that to your women characters again. And he was like, aha, I will make her in charge, but still give her no depth.
I do feel like, and maybe this is just putting too much faith in someone that I truly don't know, but I do feel like Kaya has mostly taken roles lately that are interesting and like have depth. Even that Netflix movie, the cutting edge one about her being a – that I always bring up.
Is that the
I
will only never thing not you've bring seen up her in, though?
No, but it's the most recent one. And I have rewatched it, which is saying something for, like, a teen ice skating drama.
That's funny.
But she's really good.
Yeah, but everybody's got to pay the bills. I don't know.
Everybody – sure. Yeah, sure. That's
until
that's
I fair. See depth to her character, I will be super sus. And if you'd seen the 2019 movie, you would also feel suspicious, I bet.
I hear you. I have the benefit of coming in a little bit blind, if if that is a benefit. But yeah, I'm really liking it. I did not have that same trepidation about her character. I was like, ooh, can't wait to see this unfold. My hands were rubbing together in like a
I think actually the listeners will be able to hear that. So thanks for that. Great. That was cute.
Anytime.
I didn't actually say any spoilers. I just talked about Kai Scodelario, but you guys
spoilers,
know she's
we
my,
like her but are worried.
She's my girlfriend. I love her so much. But the chicken scene, I'd like to talk about the chicken scene in episode Well, wait, was that in episode one or two? I don't know.
It was in one.
Fred.
Freddie
is what owes money. That's like one of the things that gets everybody wrapped into everybody's
stresses me out. Yeah.
Business. So he owes $8 million. He's a big doofus. He's on drugs. He's not responsible, whatever. He's so funny and the standout of the show for sure. I think even like he's Theo really James good. Is just sort of there. He's sort of the Matthew McConaughey
he's the straight
right
man.
Now. He's like, well, yeah. And but what I mean by the Matthew McConaughey is like good looking, popular actor. Not given that much to do in the show so far. But I do like him, and I think he'll end up being a little more interesting. However, Fred is the star of the show so far. The chicken dancing situation went on a little too long, and that was one of the things where I was like, this is sort of a Guy Ritchie thing to do. It goes on so long, and you get agitated, and then when he kills
the
guy, you're
like,
oh, that was the point. But like, that doesn't really do it for me. I think I fast-forwarded.
Right. Like, it made me uncomfortable. I didn't like it. But I do think if it had been any shorter, the escalation to the brother killing him, we would have been like, what? Is he just crazy?
I know.
But it was sort of like, no, he's being driven to, one, do more drugs. Two, like, feel so low, like bootlicker-esque. I think there are moments where he literally is just, like, at the guy's shoes. So I also did not enjoy watching it. I felt very uncomfortable, but I thought it made sense.
It's not even that it does make sense, and done differently, it wouldn't have landed as well. I agree. It's not that I'm telling him – well, I'm not telling him anything. He's not listening to me. It's not that I'm criticizing – yeah, guy. I'm not criticizing the way it's written. I'm saying like the things that don't really work for me personally, like genre-wise, I'm not good with like – that sort of casual over-the-top violence, the sort of like they're putting operatic music over it, like that sort of – those sort of scenes. And he does that a lot, the operatic music over the like violence. And I get that that's a stylistic choice. It's not even specific to Ritchie. I've seen it before. But that sort of thing does not – I don't like the casual violence. It's not always my thing. Like even with like Tarantino, that style – I like some of it. I don't like all of it. It's a little much for me.
I am glad that so far it's been, I mean, I say sparingly used. It like in the first episode, obviously, it was used. But it was the climax, the last bit, sort of a cliffhanger almost in the last episode. So it gives me a little bit of hope.
I didn't watch the end of the second episode. Don't tell me.
No, I know. I'm saying the end of the first episode. Oh. But it like... we're very little into the actual first season, but I am hoping that it is not just like every episode there's a catastrophe and it's more like, well, that was the inciting incident and now they're like wrapped up in all of this. But I don't know. I would agree with you. I don't want this to be a continuing thing. I like it as, like I said, I'm repeating myself. I like it as an inciting incident and that's all.
Yeah,
I
think it's going to continue to be that style. A lot of just casual violence.
Random
What's
violence.
A different way to say that? I'm saying casual violence too much. But yeah, that's definitely the vibe. But I'll watch the rest of it. I'm liking too that it's sort of – it's familiar – familiar enough that it's sort of like easy watching, which there's a time and place for it. Maybe it's because I just watched Shogun and I was like taking notes, like looking up characters and like making sure I know who's who. And I love that for a show. However, I can't do that a lot. I need a break.
It's taxing.
And so going from that to this, I was like, oh, yay. My brain gets a little respite. And I liked it for that reason. Do I think it's like amazingly done? No, but I think it's actually like objectively pretty good quality. I would say like pretty good, especially for Netflix. Surprisingly decent. And I'm looking forward to the rest.
If you really want to turn off your brain in a nice way, you could watch the next season of Extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a very...
It's hard for me when you watch things and review things and I'm like, I want to watch that thing, but Jenny already reviewed it. So I get a break from needing to watch it like immediately. But then I'm also like, oh no, I want to watch that. And then I'm watching other stuff and then I don't have time. I'm seeing a movie today.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I have the same problem in reverse.
Yeah. I'm not actually like super looking forward to the movie that I have tickets for today. And I could cancel it and watch Extraordinary, but I'll probably go see the movie. It's a horror movie. You wouldn't watch it.
Oh, I'm not excited for that either. Yeah, good. Even though not so much coming out now, I feel like it's a good couple weeks for TV. Like we've got things that are coming out steadily that we like, which is nice.
March is always pretty good. Kind of starts the few months of decent TV. I think there's quite a bit next week.
Yeah. Anything else? I feel like we've spick and span. That's not the phrase.
It's not. I think we're done.
We've snapped up.
Do you want to tell people what to do now? Where to find us?
Yeah, you should find us places, namely our newsletter, doubletake.substack.com. That's dbltake.substack.com. It's also in our show notes. And we do weekly reviews of some of the stuff we talk about here, but in more depth. So if you want to be like on the ball of stuff to watch, that's where to go. You can also find us on Instagram. We both have TikToks. We've got other places. And you should, if you liked this, leave a review. Preferably 5 stars. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time.